This is Big Z Sports, your home for high school football.
Welcome back once again to the Big Z Sports Weekly Podcast, powered as always by DAC Vitamins and Minerals, feeding champions since 1983, and Hartzler's Quality Housing. I'm Nick McWilliams, and as always, well, at least it always seems as always, that I'm joined by Adam Soweski.
Yeah, it seemed we're starting to nail this. I mean, it's a weekly thing.
You hear that, Chris and Joe? No, I'm just kidding. No, we're happy to do it. We always love discussing a few different things here. Naturally, something's going on with high school football. Can you tell me what that is? I don't know if it's anything important or not.
Yeah, this Friday starts the second season, as some may call it.
Yeah.
This is the season that everybody plays for. And, this area of football, we're fortunate to have six teams that are going to, move on to week 11 and see what they can do and see what type of run they can make in the playoffs.
Well, I think the outlook is pretty good for most of those. We're also going to have a little bit of NFL news, but I really wanted to talk about some news out of Browns camp on a certain player getting waived after a little bit of an incident. We'll get into that more. Of course, the Steelers win against a very interesting scenario why they got that win. And on top of that, the fight between Karl Anthony Towns and Joel Embiid in the NBA that happened a few days ago, naturally. But we only do this once a week, so
yes.
we'll hop on that when we can. Talk a little Cavs Celtics, too, which we'll be playing tonight. And after that, we'll throw in whatever we can.
Talk about the weather.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it's rainy, it's dreary and miserable outside right now. So getting started off right away, we're going to go straight into a little bit of playoff analysis for these high school teams. We'll also touch upon some of the scores from other teams in the areas who, unfortunately, their season has ended. We'd like to see every team make it, but that's just not how it works, unfortunately. Kicking things off with Indian Valley picking up a 60-8 win over Claymont on Thursday. Kind of figured that might be how this game would go when we were coming in, and I can't say I was surprised at all by the outcome. Indian Valley, the way they've been playing all year, and Claymont still kind of in that rebuilding mode, it's kind of exactly how I expected it to go.
Yeah, and Indian Valley, other than the one game when they hosted Bridgewood, Indian Valley, they've been on a mission again this year. Mm-hmm. And we early in the season we talked a little bit about, look at who they lost and look at all the shoes that have to be filled. Well, by about week four, we weren't talking about that anymore. We were talking about what this group is doing and how special they are.
Yeah, absolutely. We're not talking about it, Coach Lancaster. We're not talking about last year. Well, we can't now. The regular season's gone.
Year's over.
Interesting little tidbit here, focusing on their playoff berth now. They will be hosting Bloom Carroll. Now, do you know why that's special?
Yes, if I'm not mistaken, was that not the first team that they hosted in the playoffs?
Yes.
At Kelly Field?
Yes, back in 2013. First ever home playoff game that was hosted by the Braves. They welcomed in Bloom Carroll, and that was a barn burner of a game, if I remember correctly. Very well could happen again. The Braves, as we know, the number 2 seed in Division 4 region, I'm going to mess this up, 15, correct?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know how I can. I don't know how I can't remember that. But should be a very interesting game in that one. That's of course a 2-7 matchup. And looking at another game that had huge playoff implications for both sides and kind of went the way that we might not necessarily have expected. Dover and New Philadelphia, the 116th meeting between that storied rivalry. Tornadoes walk out on top in a game that I think was epitomized a rivalry as best as you can. It kind of came down to the last drive, and it was pretty much brutal, I think is the word that you would go with that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Chris Kale and I, obviously Chris is a Dover grad, I'm a Philly grad. We talked, before the game, and this game led up exactly the way we had said. When you have this game that's the big rivalry, you have to throw out all the records. You have to throw out what each team has done. And it shows you, this is why you just throw everything out, because if you're going by what's on paper, the Quakers should win by 4 touchdowns. But, Dover came in with a very good game plan, and, the Quakers just didn't match the intensity. And obviously, for obvious reasons, there were some injuries late in the game that may have affected it a little bit. But like I said, Dover earned that victory. They had a great game plan, and that's why they came out ahead.
Yeah, I saw some things that were saying along the lines of, if Baron May doesn't go down in this game, doesn't get injured, this is an entirely different outcome. You've got to look, though, at how this game progressed. I mean, Dover was matching Philly blow for blow.
Mm-hmm.
Dover actually got on the board first, and
yes,
then Philly scored, and then Dover did it again and answered right back again. And When you're looking at a team that coming into the game is the underdog, I think that's easy to say just looking at records. But when you're able to do that, you kind of start imposing your will almost when you start moving forward like that. And you had a game plan, as you mentioned, that was working well. I think Dover did a fantastic job of keeping Philly off balance, mixing in different kind of runs and passes, which, you know, Dover these last 2 weeks of the season threw in a lot more run plays than I ever expected they would, and it seemed as, well, it's obviously paid dividends here. Yeah. And the biggest storyline, as we've already alluded to, Baron May going down for New Philadelphia. What does that do with your playoff hopes now? I'm not going to take anything away from Kobe Hoover, pardon me, that and his ability, but when you lose your senior quarterback who's been starting for basically 4 years now, correct? And you potentially losing him, we don't have the for sure update that he's not going to play, but things didn't look great last time out.
No, and yeah, you know, Coach Dennison alluded to you know, the fact that Kobe Hoover will be, you know, he'll be the starting quarterback next week, this coming Friday. And you know, he made a comment that I've seen Kobe play. You know, he's a very good friend of my son's. And Coach Dennison said, you know, Kobe's a kid that would start 95% of the schools in high school in the state of Ohio. You know, so the Quakers are fortunate enough to have somebody with that ability to lead them into week 11. And then, you know, there's a couple other things you can look at. You know, Kenston, all the film offensively that they're going to have on the Quakers, number two was on the field. Well, number two is not going to be on the field.
No, entirely and different animal.
You know, and I'm sure that Coach Dennison's going to game plan accordingly to make things work, to use what he has on the offensive side of the ball. Now, you and I both know it all comes down to defense. You know, and the Quaker defense, the way they've played all year, they have to bring everything they got this, you know, this coming Friday to shut down the Bombers. I mean, the Bombers, I've read that they have a right tackle that's committed to Wake Forest. They have their tailback is walking on to Wake Forest. So there's two Division I players. So, you know, I personally like the matchup for New Philadelphia. And I think that there's not a doubt in my mind that this team can get rolling just as what everybody thought they would be able to.
Yeah, this is the moments, as you mentioned there, you know, you got a game plan around what you have. These are the moments where you lean very heavily on John Shoretti. You lean heavily on Gent Joseph, Austin Cole, Sam Zemus. Help me out here.
Yeah, you got Reese Meekin. You got two different running backs. You know, that way one's not going to get tired.
Yep.
Like I said, Coach Dennison has a lot of weapons, and he's a very good coach. He'll come up with a good game plan to give the Quakers their best chance to succeed in Week 11.
And if I didn't mention, we've been talking about Baron May so much, I would be doing an injustice if I didn't mention the fact that Dover quarterback Aiden Hall was about as solid as you could want him to be in a rivalry game. 23 for 30 for 264 yards, 4 touchdowns. Did throw one pick, but added 43 yards on the ground. He linked up with Keaton Hall and Nathan Ravine often. Keaton Hall had 3 touchdowns, Nathan Ravine with a touchdown and 167 yards. Clearly that game plan worked and could be something that maybe Kenston kind of looks into to possibly use when they match up against New Philadelphia. And then, speaking of Kenston, that is who New Philadelphia will be hosting. They lost to Chardon this year, who Dover will be hosting in the playoffs, which is interesting. Now, the interesting little tidbit that I alluded to before we started here with Kenston, they only have one win this season over a team that's over 500. They've lost, the two losses were against above 500 teams. Only one win against above 500 teams. So that's 6 wins where the teams, I mean, presumably we're not playoff quality teams considering where their record would be. So it should be very interesting to see how that plays in with the Quakers and see what Kenston brings. And as I mentioned, Dover hosting Chardon, 8-2 this year. They beat Kenston, as I mentioned, and Alliance. The only losses this team has had, though, were to Perry, and that's the Lake County Perry, not the Perry Panthers out of Maslin, and Mayfield. Yeah, those were two 10-0 teams. So these Chardon is no slouch in any way possible. Dover will have to be on their A game, similar to what they were last week.
And, you know, I'm sure Coach Ift will just be hoping that, you know, Aiden Hall can have a game like he did against the Quakers. When you only have 7 incomplete passes in a huge rivalry game as a sophomore, that's a great game. And the stat line, as you said, it showed. So, I mean, that's, you know, obviously they're going to want to lean on his shoulders one more week, you know, and try to advance to week 12.
Well, yeah, that's always the ultimate goal. You win this week, you move on. Yeah. You don't look at how the rest of the playoff bracket goes. You got to focus on a week at a time. It goes without saying, but I like to throw in all those stereotypical analogies in there. Ridgewood tops Newcomerstown 50-21 in a game that I was surprised by the fact that we kind of alluded to the fact that this game could potentially be kind of close. And I tell you what, the Trojans were there for a lot of this game. I don't think there was any doubt that the Generals had it going for them. But for a lot of certainty in my mind that they seemed like they're at any moment Newcomerstown could possibly take a lead in this, in my opinion. Might want to mute.
Oh, that was weird.
It's live, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, yeah, Ridgewood finishes the year 10-0, perfection, and about as it's about the only word to use to describe what Coach John Slusser, Gabe Tingle, Isaiah Lamnick, Colton Smith, Caden Smith. I could keep going down the list with all these players, all these guys that we see week in and week out making huge impacts. And there's a definite reason why the Generals went 10-0 this year.
Oh, absolutely. And if I'm not mistaken, I know that for a fact they went, I think 8 of their games were running clock.
Mm-hmm.
And it might even be more than that. It might have been 9 or 10. But, I mean, they have just won in dominant fashion in every game they've played up until this point. But I know that Coach Slusser is not going to take any of that for granted. As we say, that's why they call this the second season, because the playoffs are a whole other animal. Now you're going to be playing other teams that are 10-0, 9-1, 8-2, you know, other teams that had good years. So that's why you got to kind of clean the slate. And hey, we're rolling into the first week of season number 2.
Keegan Millender and Connor Cousy were the two that I was trying to remember here. Plenty of others there as well. Gabe Tingle. There's not enough to actually say about a kid who's only a sophomore who can do what he does. 7-for-12 for 201 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 62 on the ground with 2 rushing scores as well. I know why you were snickering there. looking at the Trojans, you know, they ended the year 5-5. Once again, we've said it all year long. A huge congratulations to Newcomerstown.
Absolutely.
That senior class and everything you guys have done to turn things around. 5-5 is just, that's a huge win for what we've seen from this team over the past few years. And I tell you what, you get a lot of that starting core back next year.
And
maybe not a ton, but enough that could be...
I'm sure it's enough that Coach Dirk Gadd is going to be happy, you know, rolling into the 2020 campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you get that winning attitude back into Newcomerstown. And you know, the kids that are coming up are going to expect that. You know, they're going to start rolling. They're not going to want to fall back into that, you know, that the bad times that they were in, a couple years ago. They're going to want to keep this rolling, which is just a little bit more motivation for all those kids.
The one disappointing thing from the Newcomerstown end of the season here is really that you have to see it end, and also the fact that this is the last regular game we're going to see between Newcomerstown and Ridgewood, as we're going to have a shift now, and it's not going to be a yearly meeting, which is just very disappointing, because that's an old school rivalry.
Oh, absolutely, because what is there, 10, 15 miles between the
something
two
like
schools?
Something like that. Close.
They're very close. So, yeah, I know that that's to, you know, football fans of both schools are going to probably miss that rivalry, and it's something they look forward to. I mean, but obviously, they have to do what's best for each respective team, and if it doesn't work out, I mean, they might be able to schedule it not at week 10, but maybe a week 1 or 2 game. You know,
to
keep it going, it just won't have that week 10 rivalry feel.
No, but I know that these two. I mean, John Slusser spoke very highly of Dirk Gadd and everything happening in Newcomerstown. Said they're on the right path for sure, and no one's surprised. Part of the league crown going to Ridgewood, 10-0. That's kind of what you expect to happen.
Yeah.
Looking at the playoff opponent now, Portsmouth, their only losses were to Ironton and Galea Academy. So I don't think there's any reason to hang your head with that. And Portsmouth is out of Scioto County, all the way down there, kind of close to the Ohio River. So that's I think Ridgewood's happy to be playing host, because otherwise, you know, you can imagine taking that trip.
Yeah, I heard him actually mention that was a, I believe it's a 3-hour trip.
Yep.
That they've had to make before. So they're very happy to be the ones that are sitting at home, letting them come to you. You know, that makes a big difference. 3 hours on a bus, show up, be ready to play a football game, and then you got 3 hours going back. That's a lot of time in a bus.
Well, you know, thinking about whenever you're about to play in a game, you know, you've got that time beforehand, and most of the day is it's on your mind. You're thinking about it, and you're kind of trying to calm your expectations. Maybe not expectations, calm your nerves, calm your hype, to make sure you're very focused and ready to go for the game. But when you got a 3-hour bus trip, when I'm going to guess no one's going to be talking too much because it's going to be laser focus, for 3 hours.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're going to keep yourself from getting too amped up, but
yeah.
We'll definitely see. Ridgewood could potentially be looking at a deep run at the playoffs, considering what we saw in the regular season, but you got to play every week, as have mentioned.
Yep.
Sandy Valley and tops Malvern 41-0. Rather, Cam Blair. You know, for as much praise as I gave Gabe Tingle there for Ridgewood, you got to do the same for the Cardinals' junior quarterback with the Stark County passing record, which is absurd. A touchdown passing record, obviously. 5 touchdowns through the air for Cam, hooking up with Demetrius Evans and Brody Kelly on all of those. 300 yards in all of his touchdowns by halftime. I think he only added like 12 more yards after half, and I'm sure he got sat for the rest of the game for obvious reasons, as did a lot of starters. Only 189 yards yielded by Sandy Valley. Dirk Hutchinson, the quarterback for Malvern, as we know, is a dynamic guy. He threw 2 picks, and I think he only had about 100 yards through the air, if that. Maybe 100 total yards. I'm not sure. I can't quite remember. But Sandy Valley getting their own part of the IVC title on their side of things. And now we'll be playing, I don't know how to put this lightly, but undefeated Kirtland, who is probably one of the toughest teams you will find in the state. They have allowed 34 points all year long.
Wow.
Total. They've had like 6 shutouts or something like that. So that is a crazy, crazy tough matchup they'll be going against. The closest game they had was actually a 28-7 win over Riverside. A 21-point differential was the closest game that they've had.
Wow.
I think the most points they gave up in a game all year was 14. So not an easy sledding for Sandy Valley, but I tell you what we've seen from the Cardinals, as Coach Brian Gamble had alluded to, he wanted to see their best football at the end of the year after that loss to Indian Valley. He wanted to see them push forward and keep playing their best football. Hands down, they have, and that's what they're going to have to bring.
Well, as I say, you got Cam Blair at quarterback, you know, that's going to lead the charge for the Cardinals, and you know, a defense that only, you know, 189 yards in Week 10. He's going to want that effort, if not a little bit better. And then you have your junior quarterback leading the way. I'm sure Coach Campbell is going to be, you know, he'll have a nice game plan in place. And just, again, you look at paper, but paper doesn't perform on the field.
No.
So, you know, I'm sure Coach Campbell is going to have his guys ready to go. And, you know, don't be shocked if the Cardinals win in Week 11 and they move on.
I wouldn't be because, you know, as we just mentioned with the paper thing, they've given up 34 points. They had a lot of stout opponents, but they haven't played anybody quite like the Cardinals. We know what Brendan Obradovich and Cam Blair, Demetrius Evans, Brody Kelly, that entire offense can do, and defensively as well, as you just alluded to.
Yep.
And our last playoff team from the area is the Garraway Pirates. They topped... Well, before I get into this, you think that there were any memories locked away in some of these players, coaches, and the community's mind when they were playing Tusky Valley again?
Oh, I'm sure. They probably were able to get a little bit more amped up this year.
Yeah, and they were at their home turf as well.
Yeah.
62-7, they take care of the Trojans. We kind of joked coming into this. They were like, well, Garraway probably wants to leave, no doubt. 55-point differential in that win. I think you didn't leave any doubt at all. Garrett Newsom, 16-17 for 203 yards and 2 touchdowns, as well as 120 on the ground in a trip to the end zone. That was impressive. The fact that the Pirates outgained the Trojans 520-252 and had a 56-7 halftime lead, all impressive things. How about the fact that they forced 5 Tusky Valley turnovers in this game?
And, you know, I keep alluding to the same thing, but head coaches that are going into the playoffs, the offensive numbers are great because you have to score to win, but the defensive numbers are more impressive because the defense is what, you know, you can win a 7-0 game with a good defense.
Oh yeah.
You know, so most coaches would rather win those tight games knowing that their defense is playing well, instead of going into those shootouts where the last team that has the ball wins.
Well, it helps a lot when you think about it. I mean, I'm not going to say that offense is easier than defense or vice versa, because it's not. They all have their own challenges. But if you think about how you can create on offense, a lot of different teams will use that that thought process of, you know, all we need is a little bit of space and a guy with a lot of speed, and there you go. You're fine. Defensively, you got to have guys so locked in and ready to know where the play is going and make sure to cut them off, because you don't need much room to get through and get huge chunk plays.
No.
So absolutely, you're right, and that'll be a huge asset for them going into the playoffs if they can hold strong with that. They will now be facing an explosive Garfield offense, the Garfield G-Men. 9-1 this year, I believe. Yes, 9-1. Their only loss this year was to 9-1 Mogador, and we know how good Mogador is year in and year out. So not an easy test by any means, but I tell you what, that defense is going to be the key, as we've been talking about throughout, and we'll see how they match up when they travel to Garfield. I almost said play host. They do not get to. that we talked about the home field advantage of being up on the hill, though, because Shannon Thomas should have asked him how cold he was.
Yeah.
Said he was having a hard time typing on his phone for social media when his hands wouldn't move.
I can imagine, and I look forward to having the same issues this coming Friday.
You will be having them for certain. I'll be back here both Friday and Saturday in the nice warm studio just pressing buttons. That's my job. Oh, darn.
Yeah.
Looking at some of the other scores now from the teams who now their seasons are complete. A big congratulations and hats off to every single player, coach, booster, cheerleader, band member, everybody who participated in this season. It's fantastic to see you guys every year in and year out showing all the pride and spirit that you have. Carrollton ends the year on a winning streak. They top Minerva 28-7, 2-8. Not a fantastic season, but, you know, I'm sure that's something that Coach Jim Salimos, when we talked to him in back-to-back weeks, was very excited about, you know, the fact that they're finally kind of put some things together. As he mentioned for Carrollton, and I agree with him, it wasn't like that the team was playing awful all year long. It just things wouldn't come together and just too many mistakes and everything along those lines. First thing that I want to do is we never really get talk about a lot of defensive performances, but for Carrollton, defensive lineman Alex Johnson getting 1.5 sacks and 2 solo tackles, and actually he was key in a kind of a swinging point of the game. He got a sack of the Minerva quarterback and kind of set up a punt situation, which then Carrollton drove down the field and took a bigger lead with a Joe Beard touchdown run. So fantastic stuff for them. Brady Benner was actually my hats off award winner. Returned the opening kickoff of the second half, 82 yards for a touchdown. Got an interception on defense. And got a touchdown reception.
Nice.
Want to talk about making an impact in every way that you can?
That's a good way to have an impact on the game.
You want to spread it out as much as possible. West Holmes drops to Mount Vernon 32-24. Just kind of move on from this season, I'm sure, yes. If you're Zach Gardner and the rest of the Knights. Some unfortunate injuries, some unfortunate things happening, but positives coming out of it, too. Sophomore quarterback Noah Clark looked great. Hayden Baker got to come back in his senior year and make some impacts throughout different games. You know, they are set up well, I think, for the future in West Holmes.
And the thing is for, you know, Coach Zach Gardner, when you have a season like this, yes, it's a tough one to get through. But this right here with the record that they ended at, it makes things so much easier in the offseason because every one of those guys is going to want to work that much harder than they did just because they know how it felt all season long to just not come out on top in games that you feel like you maybe should or losing those close games. That all helps you that following offseason to come out that much stronger next year.
Especially when you have a team as young as West Holmes did. So they do finish the year 3-7. I would definitely put money on the fact that they are going to be better next year.
Oh, yeah,
I would guarantee that. Tuscarawas Central Catholic takes Strasburg to the woodshed 47-13. Both of these teams had some very up-and-down seasons. The Tigers started off pretty strong and then reeled off a lot of different losses there at the end of the season. Tuscarawas Central Catholic was a roller coaster year. They had the highest of highs and the lowest of lows in a lot of different ways. Alex Price, senior quarterback Alex Price, rounding out his career in pretty good fashion. 3 touchdowns, 208 yards, and a rushing touchdown, and was just a hair shy of 100 yards on the ground as well. He even had a 54-yard touchdown pass that Jake Miller threw to him.
Yeah,
They wanted to get him as many points as possible, as many scores. Ryan Dick adding 2 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns, actually. Lucas Lindsay having a decent game for Strasburg. I think for Coach Curtis Metzger, he's going to look back on this season, and I'm sure plenty of things are going to be addressed, whether it be the defensive side of the ball, trying to get off the field quickly and limiting opposing teams, or trying to add a few more wrinkles to that rushing attack, because we know that's how Strasburg likes to handle things. But you might have to mix it up a bit because teams definitely keyed in on that as the year went on.
That, and you know, they just need to really focus on trying to get those numbers up a little bit more because that depth is what I know that the depth really hurt them.
Yeah.
You know, and you have long sustaining drives by the opponent. It just wears your defense down, and when you don't have the numbers to rotate, it just makes it that much harder.
And one last player to mention from TCC, Braden Nussbaum had a fantastic senior season as well. That connection between Price and Nussbaum was exciting all year long. Yeah. What's been exciting for the last 2 years, 3 years, I can't remember how long both of them have been playing.
Yeah, I know it's been at least two.
Yeah. Congratulations to those guys. It was great watching an air attack in high school football like theirs. I love passing in high school football. Why? I don't know, but it's just fun to watch. And the final game we're going to talk about, this was kind of interesting, was almost another playoff team. Connaughton Valley and Weirton Madonna tied 14-14, which a lot of people I know were freaking out saying, like, you can't tie. Well, you can, because in West Virginia, their rules for high school football, games can end in ties, whereas in Ohio, they do not. So Connaughton Valley, if they win, likely getting into the playoffs. Weirton Madonna, if they win, likely getting to the playoffs in West Virginia, and they, unfortunately, the game ends in a tie. I hate when that happens, but that is just how it goes. You know, you're at that home field, you have to go with those rules. That's just how it works.
Yeah, that makes it tough because you know, from the sounds of it, both teams are going to wanted to get that victory to keep their season alive. You know, that's one of those games that you know, I'm sure some administration from Weirton Madonna might be making a couple phone calls or sending a few emails to their, you know, the people that make those decisions, because you don't want to keep a team out just because they tie their last game.
Yeah, I don't know how long that's been a rule with West Virginia's high school association. I'm sure it's been there for a while, but it's just unfortunate because you see this situation where it kind of ruins it for both sides. Connaughton Valley actually had the chance to win the game there in the last overtime drive as they stopped Weirton Madonna and were lining up for a field goal, and the field goal was actually partially tipped and came up, from what I could tell, just a hair short, maybe a yard or two short when it was tipped. So, Connaughton Valley ends the year 4-5-1. Really hate saying that last part there.
Yeah.
I tell you what, though, Mike Winland in his first year with the Rockets, fantastic work he put forward there. There's some good things happening in Connaughton Valley.
Oh, absolutely.
And we definitely look forward to following the Rockets as they continue next year. Quarterback Braden Caldwell, man, that kid is a very, very special player. 89 yards just 5 minutes into the game for a 7-0 lead, and then the offense, neither side really made too much of a huge impact. I think that, Weirton Madonna tied it up in the third, and then they went back and forth with three different overtimes, and then the blocked field goal to end it. That's just heartbreaking.
That is.
Once again, thank you for tuning in to our Big Z Sports Weekly podcast brought to you by Hartzler's Quality Housing and DAC Vitamins and Minerals. High school stuff now. We're going to kind of move on from that. We'll be having more high school-related content with Friday night's game.
It's going to be the New Philadelphia Quakers hosting the Kinston Bombers.
He had a good laugh because before this I flipped these two games and I thought they were happening on different nights. And as we mentioned, Indian Valley will be playing host to Bloom Carroll on Saturday. Two very good games, I think, coming up. I really want to see what the Quakers do matching up with without Baron May potentially, or well, without Baron May. And what Indian Valley does in their last. This will be it, the last game that you will be seeing in Kelly Field for varsity football.
Yeah, so it's kind of obviously there's other places we could have gone, but there's a lot of, you know, the whole, being that it's the last home game at Kelly Field, it's going to be a special night for Braves fans. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to seeing how that game plays out, and obviously I'll be freezing on Friday night watching the Quakers. And Joe and Travis will be on the call, and I get to spend a little time with my brother-in-law, Chris. He's going to be the sideline guy that night. So
if you're there watching that game, you're going to be able to watch them try to stay on Adam try to stay on opposite sides of the field. He's going to watch where Chris is going. Adam, do you have those updates? No, sorry, I'm too busy with something else currently. Anyway, going on to some professional sports news. The first thing I want to talk about was the Cleveland Browns losing another one, 2-6 now. Just so many things wrong with this team. Not the talent level. The talent level is there, but the cohesiveness and just very boneheaded plays, and many of those being the head coaching decisions of Freddie Kitchens, who is also playing the play calling. But I'm going to gloss over that because, truthfully, that's about all you can say about the Browns at this point.
Well, I'll tell you what. I watched that game, and there was something that the one of the announcers said. I kind of thought back to the games I had seen.
Mm-hmm.
you know, whenever you have one of those receivers, and I'm talking Odell Beckham Jr., I'm talking about
Jarvis Landry.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean okay.
One of the big guys.
Julio Jones,
Juju Smith. Yes. You know, Antonio Brown when he was relevant.
Sane. Oh,
so,
sorry.
You know, yeah, sane. When you have a when you're trying to do something, you need a score. You need a first down. Most teams go to those players.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there were several times, and OBJ, he was a little frustrated. He had single coverage. They were, and I think they needed to score. And he had single coverage down the sideline, and they tried to force another pass into Jarvis Landry. And it's like, give the guy. I mean, he's getting,
give him a chance.
He's getting three or four receptions a game. And I mean, we all see how he gets, but at least throwing the ball.
The one thing that I will say is a lot of it. What that could potentially be. Baker Mayfield and him did not have a lot of offseason time to work together. And not only that, when Baker was a rookie, he didn't have a receiver like that. He had Jarvis, which helped a lot. But Jarvis is a fantastic quality, what do you want to call it? He uses a lot of receptions, and he's that guy who just swallows up the receptions. OBJ's not that. He's the big home run hitter. And Jarvis isn't necessarily that, and I think that's kind of what added to it. Baker probably still doesn't really know how to mesh with him well. The biggest thing, though, is the fact that on fourth and one, and I think third and goal or something like that, twice Freddie Kitchens decided to hand off to Dontrell Hilliard and not Nick Chubb. Chubb did everything for that team on the ground during that game. But then they tried a QB sneak with Mayfield rather than give it to Chubb. They tried. I just can't believe it when Chubb is right now arguably your number one player, hands down, which is what the season's production
has been. Oh, for sure.
So the one thing I did want to talk about, we ended up doing a breakdown anyway, but the one thing I wanted to talk about from Browns news, safety Jermaine Whitehead getting waived by the team after his Twitter tirade that I don't know if you got the chance to see or not. Needless to say, it's a lot of things I can't actually repeat. Made some threats on social media to some people critiquing him, including Dustin Fox, you know, the NFL veteran and analyst. He made some threats, and the team said no.
Wow.
Which kind of helps considering that they needed the roster space for Drew Forbes to be reenacted and Kareem Hunt. So he picked a very poor time to be deciding to do that.
Yeah, I'm sure that helped in their decision-making process.
Well, you know, he came to the Browns. He was claimed off of waivers from the Packers, and the reason he got waived by the Packers is he punched an opposing player's face mask. I don't know if it was in preseason or during the season, but something, you know, we see players with some character issues sometimes, and I think Jermaine Whitehead might be no different, and hopefully that he'll figure that out and know how to conduct himself a little bit better, and I hope he gets another chance and can prove that he is not necessarily as he portrays himself on social media, apparently. Looking at some other NFL news, the Pittsburgh Steelers with another win in a nail-biting fashion against the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, you know, they improved to 4-4, and their defense is right now, they're going to have to ride their defense. That's all there is to it. I mean, they're banged up. You know, that's what – it's funny because you see the Browns, you know, people posting stuff about the Browns and how they're – you know, they really aren't dealing with any injury issues.
No, and the only adversity that they're dealing with is self-inflicted for the most part.
Exactly.
I mean, 90%
of it. And then you have the Steelers who's – they got a backup quarterback. They have – well, let's see. Samuels, he's technically – he would be a backup, but the way things have been going so far, he's like kind of like a third or fourth string running back. I mean, they're – and they got their best defensive lineman, one of their best defensive linemen.
Hayward's out, isn't he?
No, Hayward.
Oh, Tuitt.
Yeah, Stephon Tuitt. They're dealing with injuries galore, and they've managed to go to 4-4. So it's just like they're, you know, it is possible, but it all, to me, after watching their games, they're going to flow with their defense.
Well, a lot of that's been the help of the trade that I laughed at when they initially made, but Minkah Fitzpatrick, I think he's had six picks or something since he came, five picks maybe?
Five, I think it's five.
Yeah, since
he
came
over.
Because
he had two in one game against the Dolphins.
Right. The irony, the cruel irony. But no, it's worked out fantastic, even if it is a one-year rental. Well, no, because they actually have him for another year.
Well, no, because they wasted it. They gave a first-round pick away. So,
he's got another year or two.
Yeah, and it's going to be long-term. They're not going to let him get away.
Well, that's, I mean, Pittsburgh's needed that secondary help.
Yes.
And it's worked out fantastic for him. But I had to make the joke that I'm sure that one Pat McAfee, after watching what happened with the field goal kick, laces out, everybody. Don't pull a Ray Finkel.
Yeah, that's what they said. Haven't you ever seen Ace Ventura?
Yeah. Don't you know better? Laces out.
Yeah, laces.
Laces in, laces out. Which one is it?
It's laces out.
Yes. Don't put the laces in. Anyway, moving on to the NBA now. I would talk about the Bengals, but...
Okay, moving on.
Yes. Ravens. Oh, well, I guess the Ravens did end up handing the New England Patriots their first loss of the year, and I never want to see the Ravens win, but it came against the Patriots, so I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that was a game that I wouldn't mind seeing a tie.
No.
Because neither
one. Or somehow both teams get negative points and they get a win taken away from them. That'd be pretty cool. Maybe we need to incorporate that in the NFL. But Lamar Jackson just obliterated the Patriots defense, a defense that we thought was bulletproof.
I watched a little bit of that game, and if they don't have the first quarter that they did, they probably don't win.
Yeah,
because the Patriots defense was like, oh, okay, so we're going to shut them down now.
Well, I think they figured out after the first quarters they were not ready for that mobility of Jackson. I mean, few teams are ready for that.
Yes.
And it's... How do you game plan with that? What quarterback? Hey, we need one of our fastest running backs to now play quarterback. Yeah. But you have to still be able to have a rocket arm.
Yeah, can we borrow Tyreek Hill? He can just run quarterback, and we'll see if we can't stop him. Yeah.
Well, OBJ would be my next likely pick for a quarterback close to him. But no, Lamar Jackson is a special quarterback, and he showed it. And tell you what, I don't think anyone's stopping the Ravens from the AFC North crown. Pittsburgh might have to be your best chance at 4-4. But
yeah, no, I don't foresee them getting to the top. I see them, but I do see them after seeing the wild card and where everybody's at right now. I can see Pittsburgh sliding in maybe to one of the two wild card.
Hey. Don't count out those Bengals yet. Anyway, looking at the NBA now, as I had mentioned before, Karl Anthony Towns and Joel Embiid going at it, throwing fists in the NBA. Maybe we're kind of returning back to the old NBA where, the Larry Bird, Magic Johnson days, where Bill Laimbeer days.
Bill Laimbeer, yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen. No. But no, that was an all-out brawl, and I'm not really sure what led to it.
But, and it's so early in the season.
Yeah,
it's
like, I don't know. I don't. I could understand if this was like 15 games left in the year and you're fighting for your playoff life. You're like five games into the season. Relax. It's okay. You can have problems. Ben Simmons walks away with that from the 76ers without any kind of punishment, even though a video clearly seems to be him on the back of Karl Anthony Towns putting him in a chokehold.
Oh, okay.
So if you haven't seen that video, go find that. And they... League didn't find anything wrong with it.
Okay.
I guess
in comparison to the punches thrown, I guess that maybe they didn't think it was a big deal.
Well, you know how a lot of sports fights happen these days. It's not a lot of punches thrown. It's more like I'll grab your collar and pull you back and forth kind of thing. But unlike with hockey, when you're doing that, you're actually giving uppercuts as you're going. But looking at the Cavaliers and Celtics now, still with NBA news, Kevin Porter Jr., the rookie, has been suspended for, I think, 4 games due to making contact with a referee.
Oh.
I didn't get to see the actual incident. I think maybe it was one of those where he was just walking, trying to get his attention, and he touched him or bumped into him. And, you can't do that. And it's a zero-tolerance policy with that.
It absolutely
so he will
is.
Be out. They will be facing the Celtics tonight. Cavs 2-4, which is about 2 more wins than I expected them to have. John Beilein in those wins. They've actually looked pretty darn good when they've won games.
Yeah. It's one of those things that I haven't made a effort to watch them, but I wouldn't mind seeing them. I mean, it's a young team, but fun to watch. And, the Celtics, I know that they're down a little bit. I mean, they still have Kemba Walker, but, they had a lot of adversity from last year that they're trying to cope with. So this might be a game maybe tonight. Maybe I'll watch the Cavs.
Well, I tell you what, it's not you can see the seeds of the college game in it with John Beilein at the helm, but it's not like stop and pop three-pointers. It's not like crazy stuff like that, but there are some seeds in it. It's really refreshing to see a very young core of teams with the Cavs because we know what they've had over the past few years.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of aging veterans. This is a lot fresher, faster, more exciting team, in my opinion, even though they aren't necessarily winning that many games. But we're 6 games into the year.
Again.
Yeah. And we weren't expecting the Cavs to be that good anyway, so this is already an improvement. That's about it. Oh, one quick thing. I wanted to point out UFC news because I like doing that, even though he has no care in the world
for it. Just stand here.
Jorge Masvidal picks up a win over Nate Diaz from a doctor stoppage, which I don't know how strong of a stomach you have, but they stop the fight if one opponent seems to have an injury that they deem as a hazard to himself for potential real damage down the road. And Nate Diaz was not happy about it, but I implore you to go see the pictures of his stitches up here and down here, and you tell me that they shouldn't have stopped that fight. Jorge Masvidal did say that they will have a rematch with this. I know I'm definitely looking forward to that. They competed for a belt that, again, I can't say. You can look that up. I might be able to tell you later about it, but I won't be able to say that on air. Then I think that's about it for us. No, I think that's about everything we covered. As we know, playoff coverage will be... There is no coaches show this week. We do not have a extra point show. So regular season has now concluded, but we will have play-by-play coverage with Adam Soweski on the sidelines Friday night. with New Philadelphia playing host to Kenston. I almost said Chardon. That's the other team.
yes.
And we will have that with Chris Kale on the sideline with you,
yep.
Travis McClellan, and Joe Geckler on the call. I'll be right there
yep.
pressing all kinds of buttons and making you guys sound good. And on Saturday night, as we mentioned, Indian Valley playing host to Bloom Carroll, last game in Kelly Field. So if you're a Braves fan, I know last game, the last regular season game, fans, there were a lot of fans there, but some had to leave early because it was brutally cold, man. I mean, I tell you, it was rough. So it'll be cold, but it will not be as rainy and windy, I think. So if you get a chance, definitely head down there to see the last game at Kelly Field.
Should be a good one, and Shannon Thomas will be doing his thing on the sideline yep. for us that night. The battle for the belt.
The battle for the belt, yeah. I can tell. I have some insight into who's leading, but I'm not gonna mention any names or anything along those lines. All right. Well, thank you again, as always, tuning in to the Big Z Sports Weekly podcast. As always, go find us on Facebook and Twitter, and follow and like us, or stream us online WTUZ.com or under the Sports tab as well. We will be staying with our play-by-play coverage with the Michael Taylor Allstate Insurance. Michael Taylor. Nope. With the Sarshon Ford of Waynesburg play-by-play game of the week. With New Philadelphia and Indian Valley on Friday and Saturday, respectively. Thanks again, everybody, and we'll talk to you later, Z Country.